Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Title of my message today is The Priorities of Our Heavenly Father. Priorities of our Heavenly Father. All right, so I want to start off with a statement that kind of ties into our families and raising kids up in the way that they should go. And we can relate this back to our lives personally because we are each children of God too. And so the statement I want to start off with is what we make important in our life usually will be just important to those that we lead or those that are really close to us or our kids. And so we lead, they follow. Usually kids like to imitate what they see that you're doing. So if we see that they have some bad usage of bad words, then we'll probably know it's coming from somewhere. I'm just kidding. Not you guys, though. You guys are perfect. You guys got it all together. So I know it's not you guys. You guys are super holy and got it going. So no, but we have to lead ourselves first in order to lead others. Pastor Rent told me that. I had to swallow that hard truth, too, and get over my pride. But we all do. We all have a little bit of pride in our hearts. And so in order for us to lead others, we have to first lead ourselves. And so my question to you today is, what are things your family values or sees as important? Would you think about it? You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But I want you to think about that. Think about some things that your family values or sees as important that you want to teach your kids, that you want them to carry on next. Honesty. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. In my family, mine was family time, spending time together. And so I know that because I remember that. That's what they taught me, and that's what I cared about, spending time, going back and spending time with my family. But also, another example was to be grateful for everything that you have. And not that we had everything and we weren't the richest people, but just to be okay with what you have. And because other people maybe had more, but my mom and my family taught it was okay to be grateful for the things that you do have. Just having food on the table, having a home to stay in, having some AC, having clothes on your back. So that was what was important, and that carried on with me. And then the last thing that my family always, and my mom always taught me too, was she wanted to have me to have a better experience than she did growing up. And I think each of us can relate to that too, because we want our loved ones or our kids or those that we lead to have a better experience growing up, because troubles are going to come. The reality is we're going to go through storms. We're going to go through hard things in our life. That's just the reality of the world that we live in today. And so, but this directly ties into our message and the priorities of our Heavenly Father. Not because any of these things or any of your values are bad, but we need to understand if we want to help people or help our kids to build their lives on a solid foundation that can't be shaken when the storms of life come, then we have to view what is important to our Heavenly Father. And you don't have to turn to this, but if you want to and you want to be an overachiever and that kind of person, go for it. I'm not going to like shoot you down and be like, dude, what are you doing? I just told you not to do that. So it's up to you. So Luke chapter 6, and we're going to pick up in 46 to 49, and we're going to figure out how to build a solid foundation, and we're going to kind of hear about what's important through the story of building your house on the rock. Okay. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This goes back to that value that my mom wanted for us, and each of us can probably relate, that we want what's best for our kids. We want them to have a better experience. And I believe that's God's heart for us too. But in order to do that, we have to, just like Jesus says in 46, or 47, I'm sorry, everyone who comes to me, we have to come to him. We have to hear his words, and then we have to do them. And that's going to directly tie into our message. That's how we build it on a solid foundation, because he says he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the storm came, it broke. It couldn't take down that house. But when we don't do his words, when we don't come to him, when we don't hear him, or maybe we do come to him and hear him, but we're not obedient to him, or like we're building a house without a foundation. And so we're going to learn how to do that, how to come to him, how to hear him, and how to be obedient to him. All right, to give you some background of Luke, we're in the book of Luke, in case you didn't know. That's why it's called Luke. Sorry for my corny jokes. It's okay if you don't laugh, but it's kind of encouraging that you are laughing, so don't get my ego too high up, though. I'm just kidding. To give you some background of Luke, Luke was a disciple. He wasn't necessarily one who walked in Jesus' time, but he was a Gentile, and he was also a doctor, so he liked to pay attention to the little details. Like I said, he wasn't one who walked with Jesus, but the theologians believe that he walked with probably Paul, and so he heard Paul's message and the truth about Jesus, and so then he gave his perspective. And some believe that he probably was with Mary too, because Luke is the only gospel that talks about Jesus as a boy at 12 years old. How many are 12 years old in the room? Or how many are kids? Raise your hand. See if the kids are paying attention. Nope, not everybody, but that's okay. Awesome, but thank you guys for who you are. All right, and so Luke was interested in demonstrating and showing us that Christ was the perfect man, that he's the Son of Man, okay? He didn't want to minimize God's his deity or his redemptive sufferings, that he was the Savior, he's Messiah, but he wanted to focus more so on the humanity of Jesus, on him as a boy, him as a child. And so Luke, in this story, writes and explains what it looks like to be a child of God. And each of us can apply this in our lives, because each of us are children of God. But and like I said before, we have to lead ourselves before we lead others and lead our kids. Okay? And that goes back to our verse that we talked about in the vision, train a child up in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart. So God desires each of us to grow up and teach us how to do that personally, how to teach others and our kids to do the same. So before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. So God, we just thank you for this opportunity to know you. We thank you for this opportunity to experience your love, God, to come to you. And God, we thank you, God, that you're here in this room, that you know every single one of us. You know all of our needs. You know that this was the time where you can speak to us. And this was the place that you purposed to bring us a message. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak to us. God, I pray that we would hear you. And God, I pray that you would help us to be obedient to you, Jesus, by your grace and by your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, let's go ahead and if you have your Bible and you're already at Luke chapter 2 at 41, say, hey. All right, cool. We're good. We are going now. All right, let's go. So now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." All right, to give you some context here of what's going on, Joseph and Mary were both devout Jews. They observed the Passover. This was a religious practice that they did in Jerusalem every year, okay? And three times a year, a Jewish man was required to go and worship into Jerusalem, okay? And so this was something that their parents, that Joseph and Mary, Jesus' earthly parents, thought were important, okay? It's not bad. It's not necessarily the wrong thing, but they thought this religious practice was important. That's what they were required to do. So that's what they were trying to teach their kids, okay? Are we tracking? Okay. And the woman and children, as they went on the journey, the woman and the children were usually the ones in the front by the caravan. And usually the men and the older children were in the back, okay? But to help you understand what's going on, Jesus is a 12-year-old boy, and if you know 12-year-olds, 12-year-olds usually sometimes are in that in-between stage where they like, want to be a kid, but then they are like, oh, I want to be an older kid too. And so Joseph could have easily thought that, oh, Jesus is up with Mary. And Mary could have very thought too, oh, no, Jesus wants to be with the older kids because he's kind of in the in-between stage. So basically, they thought he probably was safe. And let's think about it, really. He's the example child. Anybody get that? Oh, okay. It's not funny to you? That's okay. It's funny to me. but the thing I want to key in on this is the loss that they're experiencing in their hearts and what they're feeling. It's 3 days pass by, and I'm sure you all can imagine, if you lost your kid for 3 days, your heart, how it would feel, and the sorrowful emotion, and you would probably do what it takes to find them. And so in verse 48, it explains Mary and Joseph what they were experiencing when they lost Jesus. And it says they were greatly distressed. Everybody say greatly distressed. And they weren't going to stop searching. It took them 3 days to find him, but they weren't going to stop. They weren't going to let anything get in the way of them stopping to find him. Okay? And like I said, I'm sure a lot of you are in the room. If you've lost a loved one before, if you lost your kids, I'm sure you would do whatever it took. You won't let anything get in your way to find your kid and get him back home. Okay? And so if us as an earthly parent or earthly individual, if we care about our loved ones or those that we're leading that much, how much more our Heavenly Father? So the truth I want to, in your bulletin, the truth I want to leave you, and kids, if you're following along for a prize here, I'm sure that'll get your attention. Maybe it will. Maybe some of it won't, but that's okay. All right, the point I want to point out here is that the Father loves us. The Heavenly Father loves us. And since the beginning of the world, he's been trying to show us his love. He's been trying to show us through Jesus. He was going to send Jesus, and he already had a plan from the beginning of time. He's like, I'm going to send my son. He's going to come and set you free. He's going to come as the perfect man, but he's going to come as the Savior, the Messiah, and he's going to come to set us free. And God desires each of us to see that love. And so I want to give you a visual to help you understand what that looks like. You can go ahead and play that up. I'm sure if you watch the movie, you kind of know what's going to happen next, but the thing I want to key in on here is just like when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, this is kind of how they were feeling. In those 3 days, I'm sure they were probably panicking, and they weren't going to stop. And just like you saw Mufasa and his boy Simba, he didn't allow his kingdom responsibilities and him being in charge of all of the land get in the way. He said, oh, my son's what? And he drops all of the responsibility. He leaves it just for a moment because he's like, I got to go save my son. And even though his son was tricked by this antagonist, Scar, that's kind of what the enemy tries to do. He kind of comes in, tries to trick us, try to deceive us, kind of make us feel like he said, oh, remember when you messed up with the hyenas, Simba? Made him feel shameful, made him like, hey, you're going to do this again. You're going to stay stuck in your sin. But God, still in his mercy, while we were still sinners, he still reached out. And just like you saw is the father, Mufasa, go and save his son. That's how the Father loves us. And so my question is, how can we walk and experience God's love for us? How can we apply that? How can we walk and experience God's love for us? Anybody know? It's okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 50, and we'll talk about how we do that. So the Father loves us, but how do we see that? That's the question. How do we see his love for us? Okay, let's go ahead and pick up. And 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to him, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they didn't understand the saying that he spoke to them. They didn't understand what he, because they were concerned about him, because their love was making sure that he was safe. Just like the Father's love for us, his concern was about showing his love for us. But Jesus is trying to also teach us something, even as a little boy. And Luke keys in on this. And usually when you go to the temple, What do you think Jesus was doing in the temple? Do you think he was, it says he was asking questions, but do you think Jesus was asking questions 24/7, day and night, asking him questions and talking to the people? What do you think that they were else, what else were they were doing in the temple? What do you think Jesus was doing in there? Praying. Praying, and that's our communication to God too. That's our relationship with God. And usually when people come to the temple, like you said, they pray, they read, or study God's word. And so we can imply Jesus, in his 3 days, he probably was in close proximity of the temple due to his response to his parents. He says, why were you looking for me? He said, didn't you not know that I must be in my father's house? His parents didn't understand that. They saw something that was important, not necessarily wrong. I'm not trying to prove you guys wrong here. Not necessarily wrong, but Jesus was trying to show us what came first. Jesus understood that Joseph was his earthly father and Mary was his earthly mother, but his true father was his heavenly father. He also understood what was important to the heavenly father because he left someone who was so close to him, someone who raised him as a kid, changed his diapers. Anybody wonder how Jesus' poops sound like? It's probably pretty stinky. Sorry, that's just how my brain works, I guess. No, but Jesus left his parents. He left someone that was so close to him. And that would be pretty hard to imagine myself leaving somebody. And I actually do kind of know what that experience was like. But I know I was able to come to Nebraska because I was close to the Father, and that's what he wanted me to do. And so I knew that it was his will. And Jesus understood that too. And so Jesus wasn't necessarily bringing prayer requests before God, but I want you to understand that he had a posture of wanting to learn God's will through listening to him and probably asking questions too, because he was probably praying in scripture. We can probably draw that conclusion because he wasn't just talking to him, like I said, 24/7. But then he came in a posture of learning because he came around the rabbis, the teachers, the experts of the law, and he's like, I want to learn what God's word is. I want to know his heart. I want to know his will. Okay, so he wasn't kind of like us in our relationship with God. Sometimes we're like, God, we need your help. Usually it's like, in time of need, God, I'm going to pray to you. But when I'm good, I'm not going to pray to you. And so, sadly, that's the truth. But God's trying to help us, grow us up a little bit, and teach us that prayer isn't just a one-way road. It's a two-way road where we speak to him. We come to him, speak to him. He frees us of all of our sin. But then we are listening to him, hearing him, just like that point we talked about. And building a solid foundation. We got to not only come to him with our request, because I know we all have requests and he'll meet us right where we're at, but we got to hear him, come in a posture of learning just like Jesus did. And so if you have your bulletin, you can go ahead and go to that second point, kids, if you're following along. Second point is the Father desires relationship with us. And I'm going to show you how the Father desires relationship with us, but I'm going to show you an example of kind of how our life is through this object lesson right here. And so, how do we have a prayer life if we're busy? Anybody know? Anybody got it solved? Lizzie, can you help me hold this real quick? Anybody got it solved? Because I'm sure you guys know, and I'm sure parents know, if your life's busy, how do you... Here, hold the mic. Thanks. So how many know how to have a prayer life if you're extremely busy? I saw a hand up. Margaret? Yeah, no, I can completely relate. I can completely relate. People sometimes think I'm crazy, too, and they're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm talking to myself, but talking to the Lord, too, so sorry if I'm weird to you, but that's okay. That's kind of how I am. So I want to show you, though, sometimes how our lives look. And so you see that I'm pouring sand in here. Sometimes our life looks like this. We add first the things that aren't necessarily important, like TV, like social media, music, games, hanging out with friends, and those things aren't necessarily important, but we're like, oh, that's what we're going to do. And hanging out probably with some people that we don't even necessarily like. So that's probably sometimes what we do. But then the next thing maybe will be like more important, but than the first thing, like our jobs, paying our bills. Those things are important too, and those things make us really busy. And so that fills a lot of our life too. And so we're like, okay, dang, we're already halfway filled up. Can everybody see that? We're already pretty full, so it's already pretty busy. Now we got to add the important things like God's word. Now we got to pray somehow in here. We got to study and memorize God's word. And this is going to tie in directly to my next point too. Not only study, but meditate, think about God's word. Then I got to spend some family time. Then I got to worry about my health. Then I got to feed my kids and take care of my kids and make sure they have a home, make sure they're all good too. and that I'm teaching them the right thing and discipling them. Okay, and so you try to fit all these things in, and you're like, oh, this is good. It doesn't fit. Oh, sorry, God, I don't really have a lot of time for your word. I mean, I read a verse today, the verse of the day, or I prayed a little bit. I said a couple words to you, brought my request before you, but I didn't really listen to you, and I didn't really study or memorize your word. So, I mean, but I tried to get all these other things that I think are important. Not to condemn us, but this is how our life looks when we do try to do it our way. When we do it and don't listen to him, this is kind of how it looks. It's kind of full and kind of messy. And so it's kind of hard. You can go ahead and take that. Thanks. It's kind of full and messy, and it's kind of hard to make time for God. And I'm just being honest. Even in my life, that was, like, I'm understanding with the job that I have now, it's a little bit busier than what I had before. But it's, and so I know that, I probably don't understand it to a parent's degree, but I know that you guys are probably all really busy too. And then raising your kids on top of that. And so it's important that we see what's important to the Father, so that way we can build a solid foundation in our lives, and so that way we can teach the kids the same thing. So the Father loves us, seeing the Father's love for us, because that's what's going to help us to do that. But then also we do that by our relationship with him, our prayer time with him, not just bringing requests, but hearing what he has to say. And now I want to go to continue down to our last point here. Go ahead and go to Luke chapter 2. And we'll go to 47. And I know it says, it'll say kind of the wrong verses. I kind of messed up, but that's okay. And even on your bulletin. But we're going to go to 47 all the way down to 52. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, just like an example child would be. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. This is what began to seem more important than rather what she thought was important. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man. Jesus gives us a perfect example, even as a little boy, how to grow up, how God desires for us to grow up in wisdom, not a humanly wisdom, but a heavenly wisdom that he only gives us, and in stature, in every area, socially, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and in favor with God and man. He desires us to be blessed, but then to be a blessing to those that don't know us or know him. And so Jesus, I want to help you understand what we just went through. Jesus understood his purpose even as a 12-year-old boy. He understood as a boy, he knew that it was his responsibility and his purpose to know who God is. He said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I left you because I had to be with my father. He's my heavenly father, and the only way I can know him is if I'm by him and if I hear what he says and who he says I am." And Jesus' purpose wasn't found in ministry or in anything that he did, because he knew that wasn't going to add up. And we can relate to that too, because sometimes we try to perform for God's love, but that's not how it works. Our purpose is not found in anything we do, but it's found in who God says we are and knowing him and understanding what he says about us, our identity. And Jesus gave us a good example of how to do that. He was able to know this, not through just relationship and talking with him, but through, like, when they come to the temple, they come not just to pray, but to study God's word, to probably memorize and meditate on God's word, just like the teachers of the law and the scribes and the Pharisees did. They knew the law because they got it in them over and over and over and over, and they memorized it and meditated on it. Meditating means thinking about it, in case somebody didn't know that. It's not like just meditating like you're in yoga. And so we know this to be true, too, that God's word was inside of him, and that we know that this is true also by his answers that he gave to the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law. We know that that Jesus understood his purpose. And my point is, if you have your bulletin, you can go ahead and turn to or get ready to write what the point is. My point is that the Father gives us purpose. Jesus understood his purpose, and we know that to be true because the scribes, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law and rabbis and even his parents were like, "Whoa, You're 12 years old. How did you get that answer? How did you know? They were in awe because all the experts that knew the law, that had education, that had been here for several years, learning about God's law and God's word and God's will, they were blown away by a 12-year-old boy. Yes, he was the Son of God, but like I told you, Luke was focused more so on his humanity, him as a kid. And so the only way that he knew that was because he understood what was important to the Father, that the Father loved him, that the Father desired relationship with us, and that the Father gives us purpose. But in order, so how do we know that the Father gives us purpose, and how do we know what's on his heart and who he says we are? Anybody know? Through his word. Through his word. In order to know what's on someone's heart, Jesus teaches us and intentionally to know what's on someone's heart is to spend time with them and intentionally listen to what is important to them. The only way you know what's in someone's heart, though, it comes out of their mouth. Not throw up, don't be gross. But what? What comes out of your mouth? Words. Jesus understood this, that the way that he was going to know the Father, know his heart, was through his word. I need to memorize it. I need to study it. I need to know it. I need to feel your heart, because I know if I get your word in my heart, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to hear you say who I am. And that's what Jesus probably did, because you could see by his answers he gave. He memorized, he meditated, he thought about, and he also asked questions where he didn't understand. How many have questions about God's word sometimes? Anybody? I do too. And so Jesus gave us a good example of just like what Psalms 1:1-3, you don't have to turn there, but it says, he gave us a good example of how to do this, that blessed are those who don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but their delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's what Jesus was doing. He was getting close to his heart. He wasn't walking as a sinner would, but he gave us a perfect example how to be blessed, how to experience that blessing, not to walk the way that we walk, because we will walk that way in our pride, but the way that we are led is by walking the way he did. And so the temptation that each of us face is to be consumed by all the things of the world. All the things in this world want our attention, whether it's TV, whether it's social media, whether it's music, whether it's a relationship, whether it's school, whether it's sports, whether it's our job or just the business of life. Like I showed you in our example over here, sometimes we just don't have enough time. We're like, sorry, I'm trying to do it right, God. And I believe each of our hearts, we want to do the right thing, but we just need a little bit of help to do that. I know for me personally, I did. And so Jesus gives us a good example of how to do that. And so this is all good stuff, but how are we going to implement a solid foundation when the storms of life come? Because the storms are coming, people. Storms are coming in our families, in our lives, because the enemy, his job is to come, steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not trying to make you afraid. I'm trying to make you aware that we have a real enemy who's trying to take us out, but we have a God who already won, a God who's trying to partner with us and help us to build a solid foundation and teach our kids to do the same. So examples of how to see God's love for us, how the Father desires relationship with us, and how the Father gives us purpose could maybe be like this. I'm not telling you how to do it, but I'm giving you some examples. You know your life better than I do, and God's going to help you with that. And he's helped me in my personal walk with him, make time for him. And even when I don't want to do it, when I wake up in the morning and when I have a scripture memorized and I want to think about it and say it out loud, there's some mornings where I'm like, I really don't want to do this. And I just start saying, I said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and his name, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and turned away from evil. And sometimes it's that, but God's okay with that. He's okay with you. He understands that you're tired. He understands that you go through that, but he's just looking for your heart. He's looking for you to try, and he'll meet you. His grace is sufficient for you. So sometimes for a family, maybe it's teaching your kids during the breakfast time or maybe during the dinner time or lunch time, or making a specific time for them to pray with them. God, protect them. God, show them your love for them. God, show them that you desire a relationship with them. God, show them your purpose, that it's not found in anything else in this world, but it's found in you. And speak to them, show them that. And then read a scripture, read a Bible story that they'll remember. I'm not saying you have to do it perfectly. Just start where you're at. Maybe for a husband and wife, maybe it's starting a devotional with them and reading a chapter of the Bible and talking about it and then picking a scripture out of there and memorizing it together and keeping each other accountable for that, but also praying for each other morning, evening, but also don't neglect your personal walk with him, because that's the most important thing. And so I'm going to have Sarah come at this time, and I want to have her share kind of just what grace did. It was kind of just God orchestrated some things, and it's so perfect, his timing and just how he worked it out. And so I want Sarah just to share a little bit of how she helps grace in her walk with God too.
So there's no Instagram filter for being a perfect parent and teaching them how to do everything. As much as I'd love to drag Grace into heaven with me, I can't do that. So I guess we've just learned that modeling for your children is the easiest way, I guess. I'm kind of a shortcut person, so if I can find a shortcut where I don't have to sit and read to her for 5 hours and get her to heaven, then that's what I'm going to do. So this summer we found it really easy, I guess, to, as much as possible, when she wakes up, I'm usually trying to, we don't do this every day, we're not perfect, I'm just saying. But when I wake up, I like to read my Bible, and so she wants to immediately get on the iPad or the TV. And so we kind of just have made a rule, like, do your devotion first. And so when she asked Jesus into her heart, when she decided to do that, I kind of had this song growing up, is read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And I kind of just have encouraged her, like, she has to take her own journey and do that. But as parents, we can encourage them.
Thanks, Sarah. And I wanted to share with that, too, because last week, and it, like I said, it was, yeah, you can clap. Last week, I was in awe of Grace's answer as a kids pastor, as someone who read God's word more than she did. And like the rabbis and the teachers of law, I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to help you understand what's going on. We were talking about the Tower of Babel and how all the people wanted to get to heaven. And she gave an answer, because I was asking, how do we get to heaven? Is it by our works, by what we do? And she gave an answer, and she said, no, Jesus is the only one that gets us to heaven. And I was like, holy moly. I was like, how did you know that? It had to be with close proximity. She saw that, the Father's love. She saw that represented through Sarah's life. She saw that through prayer and relationship with him, but she saw that through his word too. And I was in awe. I was like, whoa, you've seen his heart. You've seen what's important to the Father. And I was blown away. And that was just last week. It's just crazy how God orchestrates things, and it's in alignment with what he wanted to share today. And so I want to give you an example how we can build our solid foundation now. Now when we put prayer, all the what's important to him, seeing his love for us through prayer, through God's word and of studying and memorizing and meditating on it, and our family time that we spend time, our health, and we all add all those other things that are important into our life. We put those things first rather than the other things that we don't see as important, okay? And that's already pretty full, right? That's pretty full. I don't know if we can add any more, okay, like our job and the business and try to provide, try to take care of our kids and all those other things. And so that's going to be pretty difficult to do. Lizzie, can you help me with this again? It's going to be kind of hard to do this. If I had 8 hands, it'd probably work a little bit better. But so we add the things that are a little bit still important, but just not as important as those things, as the foundation that God wants us to create, okay? And so we add our job, we add paying our bills and providing food, and we add all those little things that are still important to have in our life. And we have to shake it around a couple times and figure out, okay, how's this going to work? How am I going to spend time with my family? But how am I going to show them that what's important to God and bring them to church and bring them to the community and to pray? Not that we have it perfect, but we have to keep trying, and it gets even fuller. And so we got to shake it up a little bit more and start moving more things around, okay? We're not going to get it the first time, and that's completely okay. And so now it's really full. Can everybody see that? Anybody see that? Okay. It's a workout. I'm just kidding. Now, TV, games, social media, all those things aren't necessarily bad, but when we have time for them now, we can add them into our lives. And now, before, it didn't work. But when we're doing it God's way and we're seeing his love for us, we're seeing his love through prayer and relationship with him, and seeing that our purpose isn't found in what we do, but in who he says we are. When we see that and we add all the other things, not that we have it perfect the first time, but now it starts to fit and it starts to work out. And it's super cool because you're like, whoa, that didn't fit before. How did you do that, Andy? You full of magic or what? Nope, not full of magic. Just trying to help you understand the truth. And so now all of it fits. Thanks, Lizzie. All that fits. And so my question to you is, parents, husbands, wives, single people, anyone else that's in this room, God wants to grow us up. God wants us to grow us up and teach us what's important to him. Not to say that those things that are in your heart aren't important, but he wants to grow us up as a kid and to lead those that he's entrusted us with. And so my question to you is, what are you going to do to raise your kids or those that God has entrusted you with to grow in the wisdom and stature of God? If I can have the musicians come at this time too. I want you to really think about that. What are you going to do? God's entrusted you to raise your kids, to teach them in his ways, because the storms of life are going to come. They're going to come, and you want a better experience for your kids, for your family, for those that you lead, those that are here, those that aren't here. God's entrusted you, but he's going to show you his love for you. He's always been trying to show you his love for you. Just like Mufasa and his boy, he's always chasing after you. It's just the enemy. Sometimes we have to say, you know what, enemy? You don't have a voice in my life anymore. I want to look and see what my father says. And he's always, it says his mercies are new every morning. He wants to speak to us. He wants to show us his mercy, his love. He also wants to have a relationship with us. And he also wants to give us purpose to know him and to know who he says we are. Sometimes it's hard to grow up in wisdom and stature of God because we believed a lie. We believed our normal that we grew up in. But sometimes we need God to meet us right where we're at and show us his normal and show us what's important to him. So if you stand with me this morning and just be ready to receive. I got to be a job as a FedEx man, and I'm just the messenger. I'm just delivering you a package. You can open the package just like some of the people do, or you can send it back, but God's going to keep sending you that package. Hey, I love you. Hey, I care about you. Hey, I desire a relationship with you. You can receive it if you want to, but he's going to keep fighting for you. He's not, even though Simba was stuck in his way, he didn't let that stop him. No, he was moved by his love for us. I want to encourage the prayer team to come on up here right now at this moment. Victor, Yolanda, Mary, and Gary. I want to encourage you. I don't know what your requests are. I know some of your requests, but I know that God knows your requests. I know he knows your needs, and I know that he's very present and he wants to meet you, those needs. He wants to show you his love. And so I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that love. And if you want someone to come and pray with you and believe with you that God's going to work in your life, I want to encourage that. Whether it's in healing, emotionally, physically, spiritually, I want to encourage you to come up and to receive God's call. Maybe you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you never understood what his love really looked like and you want to do that today. I also want to encourage you to have someone believe and pray with you for your healing and that you are a son or you are a daughter. And lastly, before we close, I want to, after those two things, I want to give an opportunity. If God spoke to something in your heart, maybe he wants you to share it. Maybe he wants you to share it because maybe it'll be helpful to someone else. And so if he's speaking to you and telling you to do that, I want to encourage you to share that. How to receive his love, how to have a relationship with him, how to know your purpose. If God's put something in your heart, I want to encourage you to come up here and share that. And sorry, one more thing. Before we close, I want to encourage you to, if you have a wife or a significant other, or if you're here with friends or family, I want you guys to group up and let's pray with one another. Let's pray that God shows us what's important, and then he helps us to do that in our life. Because the truth is, we're not going to be able to do this by ourselves. Sometimes it's really hard for me to get in God's word. Sometimes it's hard to pray, but God gives us that strength. God gives us also opportunities to do that. So I want to encourage you to get with somebody and let's pray for them. I'll lead us and you guys can go ahead and pray for one another if you want, if that's what you would like to do. If some of you want to receive prayer up here and have somebody pray for you up here, that's completely fine too. So God, I just thank you, Lord, God, that the thing that's important to your heart is us. God, that since the beginning of time, since even before we were created, God, you knew us. You understood us. You knew the purpose that you had for us. It was to show your love for us. God, wherever we've become blind or callous or cold in our hearts, God, would you ignite our fire in our hearts, God, to see your love again, to see who you are and who you say we are. God, would you show us and give us opportunities to have a prayer life that doesn't just consist of telling you what we need, but hearing what you're saying and speaking to us, God. I pray that we would hear your voice, God. And God, I pray that you'd give us opportunities and give us the strength to be intentional, to know what's on your heart, God, because we understand, God, that there's so many things that want to take our attention. But God, help us to build our lives on a solid foundation. So when the storms of life come, God, we'll be able to withstand it. Our house won't fall over because we come to you, we hear you, and we're obedient to you because of your mercy that forgives us, but your grace that empowers us to do what you've called us to do. We thank you, Jesus, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, if you want prayer, we want to come and believe with you. But if not, it's completely fine. But I want to leave that open to you. But as we close, if we can just all stand one more time and close in worship. And after that, y'all are dismissed. Amen. Thanks, Karen. It's awesome. And like I said, for Discovery Clubs that's coming up here and the services that we provide for youth in middle school and high school, we want to partner with the parents. We want to partner with you guys. Be there with you through the good and the bad and believe that God's still going to work. The great work that he began in you and your kids' life, he's going to see it through to completion. It's going to be by his love, his grace, and his power. Amen? All right. Before you leave, I was trying to think of something cool like Pastor Rent does, but I'm not that cool. Tell somebody that God loves you before you leave. Have a wonderful Sunday.